God is on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
May is National Mental Health Month. And on today and tomorrow's programs, Brother Hutchings will be visiting with Dr. George Crabb about a condition that affects many, many Americans, including Christians, depression. Dr. Crabb is a practicing internal medicine physician and a member of the American Society of Addiction Medicine. He's associated with Reformer Unanimous International Ministries and is deeply concerned about those struggling with depression. Brother Hutchings, as I mentioned, this is Mental Health Month, and it's not unusual for you to do programs on that topic.
Usually during the month of May, I do a couple of programs with the Oklahoma Department of Mental Health, but I don't think this year they were too anxious to do that, because I think the last couple of years their telephones have been tied up for 2 or 3 days from calls from all over the United States and Canada concerning information about mental health problems. Mental health is not something to be ashamed of. Depression is not something to be ashamed of. I've been interested in this subject for many years. I've been to many mental health clinics, psychiatric wards, and I'm always interested. In fact, I have more sympathy and concern for those with mental health problems than I do with those with physical problems, because they suffer so very, very much. I'm going to be visiting today with Dr. George T. Crabb, who's written a very excellent book on depression. The title is A Hole with No Hope. Of course, I could also reference it as A Hole with No Bottom, because to many, mental health, there's no solution. But I know from my many years in praying and counseling with people with mental health problems that there's always hope. And I know certainly in the case of depression, and I know many do suffer from depression. That's the most common cause of mental concern. And our guest today, I know, has had a lot of experience in that area, and he's written this excellent book that will be a help for many who have loved ones who you may need to counsel with, or maybe you have some concerns in this area also. Dr. Crabb, you have had quite a bit of experience in counseling with those with depression.
Yes, I have. I've been dealing with this matter for a little over 20 years now, and have counseled a good number of people.
Why did you write this book?
Well, as I am out there preaching and teaching the Word of God, I run across so many people, brother, that are just being devastated by this issue of depression, and many of them do not have any type of resource to go to, or at least a biblical resource to go to, on depression. And many times they find that their brothers and sisters in Christ don't understand where they're coming from. And again, so they find no biblical resource in helping them with their depression. And I really felt a leading by the Holy Spirit of God that I should write something from the medical and the spiritual side of depression, so that these individuals might receive some help. And like you said before, that they might receive the hope that they can have in Jesus Christ, that there is help in regards to depression.
You not only approach this from a biblical standpoint and spiritual standpoint, you are also a certified internal medical physician and a fellow of the American College of Osteopathic Internists also, aren't you?
Yes, that's correct. I graduated medical school way back in 1990 and have been practicing ever since. Yes, sir.
In depression, could you briefly describe what we're talking about, depression? Is that just feeling blue because you wrecked your car? Maybe your wife or husband, you had an argument with them? When we're talking about depression from a serious viewpoint or understanding, what are we talking about?
those issues that you explained happen to everybody almost on a potentially on a daily basis. But what we're talking about is more of a ache in the soul that can really crush our spirits and interfere with our daily life, including our eating, our ability to function and relate to other people, our ability to do our job and to fulfill our responsibilities. And typically, when it comes to depression, we're not just talking about an episode that lasts maybe 10 or 20 minutes or half a day, but this is something that the individual is dealing with pretty much every day for several months at a time. That's what we really classify as a depressive episode.
When the one suffering from this type of depression, they get to a point where they're trying to solve their difficulties, their problems, or their feelings within their own strength, within their own mind, and they get to where that's all they can think about day or night. And they withdraw and don't want to even leave the house, or perhaps they are afraid to go out, or perhaps they lose their appetite, they lose their weight, they lose their concentration. And a lot of times they lose their will to live, don't they?
Oh, yes, sir. There's many a time where people are so depressed, and that's why I entitled my book, A Hole with No Hope. They feel that the condition that they're in is so hopeless and that there's no help whatsoever that they actually start to contemplate that the best thing they could do is to kill themselves. And I loved what you said, that it's not only a hole with no hope, but a hole with no bottom. Some people just believe that there's no end to their struggle, there's no end to their depression, and they start to contemplate that the only realistic way out is to kill themselves. And that's the sad part of depression, is that people think realistically that that's the only solution that they have to the way that they're feeling.
Now, on page 15 of your book, you have conditions that this type of depression is related to. Why do people get in this kind of a mental condition? Would you list those or comment on them?
These are many in nature, because depression cannot just be categorized into one little small little box. But one of the most predominant among the Christian Brotherhood is their walk with God. Is it a strong, dynamic walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? And when our daily walk with God becomes insufficient, or when it becomes just something that is casual or something that we don't think much about, that can lead to a depression. Others are a concealed sin. When someone has sin in their life that they know about and they're just not dealing with it, that can cause depression to enter into a Christian's life. Also, relationship to others. When our relationship with our spouse, our children, our employer, maybe even to other brothers and sisters in Christ within the church, when our relationship with them is not what it's supposed to be, that can lead also to depression. Financial issues, especially now with what's going on in our world and the uncertainty of what's going on, that can also lead in regards to depression. Our physical makeup, how we are feeling, any potential sickness that might be occurring in our life. And there's specific ones that can really deal with depression, but there are certain physical ailments that, if not properly handled, can lead to depression. Our belief in the world system and what's going on today can also lead to depression. As you know, as children of God, we can see the handiwork of God going on all around us, and that the return of Jesus Christ is at hand. And for us that are saved and have a biblical outlook on the world, we get excited about it. But someone that doesn't have that proper biblical outlook on what's going on in this world can actually become depressed because of the uncertainty of what's going on. And it just goes on and on, certain things that can cause us to become depressed. And that's why many times people think that the only thing that can cause depression is sin in a person's life. But there are different avenues in a Christian's life that can cause depression, just not sin. There's many, many more.
Yes, and two, if someone has a, shall we say, a tenuous relationship with someone that they might be trying to hide from the rest of the family or their friends, and they don't confront this and settle it with the Lord, that can lead to depression. Confession to the Lord and take steps to correct the situation they're in is the first step. But if a member of your family or you have a friend who seems to withdraw, not want to talk, perhaps don't want to go out of their home, and are having a sleeping problem, that's something the family should be concerned about, isn't it?
Oh, yes, sir. One of the hallmarks of a problem that's going on is isolation. When someone withdraws themselves from normal family activity, when someone withdraws themselves from whether it be a church activity or regular services or just having fun with other friends, that is always a red flag that should be standing up in our minds that something is going on, something bad is going on, or potentially something bad is happening in this individual's life, and that individual needs attention. They need attention by their family, and they need attention possibly by others, including their pastor, including other spiritual leaders, and even including professionals in the medical community if isolation continues, or like you said, if they start to skip out in meals, if they start to lose weight. All of those are red flags that something is going on, and whatever that is not good.
That is true. Now, we're not talking about schizophrenia here or even bipolar or paranoia. Those conditions, you need to get medical help and advice. But in depression is a different type of mental concern. And as Dr. Crabb has brought out, it can often lead to suicide. When children go away to college, for example, and away from home, and their family is sending money, maybe sacrificing to send them to school, and this student is off by himself or herself, and their grades get to failing, or they have personal problems. They're afraid to consult their family. Suicides often occur in university, don't they?
Oh, yes, because you so vividly put it down. For many young men and young ladies, this is the first time that they're away from their family. They've always had their family to fall back on, and now they don't have, per se, anyone to fall back on. You and I know they always have the Lord to fall back on, but in their thinking, they feel isolated, they feel all alone, they don't feel like they have that support group that they had at the house or with their mom and dad and their family or their church family, and now all of a sudden they're all by themselves, and unfortunately too many of them start to think that there's no hope, there's no help for them, and that the only alternative they have is to end their life. And that's why lately there's been a rise in the suicide rate of those young men and young ladies that go off to college.
Yes, they get in a state of depression that it's just difficult for them to get out of the hole. And depression, like Dr. Crabb is explaining in the title of his book, they get in a hole and they can't get out. They need help.
This is Southwest Radio's Your Watchman on the Wall program, and there's more to come. Dr. Crabb has written a compelling book entitled A Hole with No Hope on the subject. You can get a copy of the 190-page book in appreciation of your contribution of $10 in the U.S., $12 in Canada. Call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The web address, swrc.com. Here again is Brother Hutchings.
You have on page 30 of your book a list of symptoms of depression. And if anyone has these, even listening to the program today, they may want to get some counseling or some help. Could you tell us again these symptoms that signify someone is slipping into depression?
Oh, I certainly can. There's kind of two categories that go along with it. One is psychological symptoms, and the other is physical symptoms. The main psychological symptom is that the person has this overwhelming sadness over every aspect of life. What used to be fun and enjoyable is no longer fun and enjoyable. Maybe you used to like listening to a ball game or reading the newspaper, and now you don't find that fun or enjoyable anymore. These are psychological symptoms where no matter what might be happening, you could be having the best day of your life. And you realize that, but underneath there's this overwhelming sadness that has crept in to your entire aspect of living, and you start to feel, as we've already demonstrated, you start to feel that there's no hope for you, there's no help for your condition. So that's probably one of the main psychological symptoms that someone needs to be watching out for, is this devastating sadness that creeps in to every avenue of your life, to where you don't want to be with anybody, you'd rather be by yourself, nothing makes you happy anymore, what used to make you happy now doesn't matter. These are all psychological symptoms of depression, and there are others as well. And then when we start talking about the physical aspect of depression or the symptoms that come with it, many will start to become fatigued. They have a hard time getting out of bed. Many will just rather stay in bed all day instead of getting up and confronting the day at hand. Many people, as you've already said, will have difficulty with their eating, and because of that, they'll lose weight. They'll start to just kind of lose weight, and people will start to wonder what's wrong because they're losing so much weight. Others will start to have aches and pains all over, just a general achiness, a general pain that's all over the body because of the depression itself. Again, many will have joint pain, muscle pain, and achiness. That just that sense when someone tells you they're just not feeling right or they're just not feeling good. They're just not themselves. That's a big part of depression when it comes to physicalness. People will come into my office and they'll say, "Dr. Crabb, I just don't feel like myself. I'm hurting all over. I'm aching all over. You know, I'm just not feeling the way I should feel."
Yes, and the first thing they should do in order to get out of that, of course, though it's difficult for someone under deep depression to even make a decision.
Oh, that's very true. They have a very hard time making any type of decision. That's why so many of them would just rather stay in their bedroom and do nothing. And that's where it really takes a family member or a loving friend to intervene and try to help this individual out of the situation they find themselves in.
But the solution to depression is not something that's going to take place overnight. I know sometimes it takes a person with depression, even if they start to recover a little bit at a time, if they can just have confidence to start doing something again, maybe no more than walking to the mailbox or watching 15 minutes or listening to the radio 15 minutes or reading a book little by little each day. I know sometimes it takes a couple of years really to fully recover, doesn't it?
Yes, sir, it does. You're just hitting the nail right on the head. I tell my patients to take baby steps. don't expect large improvements over a short period of time. Take baby step, one baby step after another baby step after another baby step, and sometimes it can, as you've already illustrated, sometimes it can actually take years before a person is fully recovered from a depressive episode. Yes, sir.
How about prayer and reading scripture? Of course, they need to maintain their faith that God is going to help them through this.
Yes, sir, that's correct. I write in my book that foundational to all types of depression, and I write about four different types of depression in the Bible, but foundational to any type of depression is to maintain a close relationship with Jesus Christ. And doing so includes Bible reading and prayer. Now, again, some people might be so depressed that they can't even open up their Bible. But nowadays, we have the ability to have the Bible on CD. We have the Bible on DVD. And we could actually play the Bible and listen to it. But to stay in the Bible and to stay in a mode of prayer is so vital to these men and women and young people that are going through depression, because our hope and our help is from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's other avenues of hope and help, but foundationally, it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And by communing with Him in Bible reading and in prayer, it's going to help the individual realize that there's more to life than just this depression that they're going through. So to emphasize, Bible reading and prayer is essential in someone staving off this life of depression that they find themselves in.
Thank you, Dr. Crabb, for being with us. We're going to continue this on the broadcast tomorrow. Perhaps you know someone who is suffering from depression, perhaps a member of your family. And I think this book that Dr. Crabb has written, A Hole with No Hope, will help, because it diagnoses the problem and gives how to climb out of the hole step by step. Here now is Brother Jerry to tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Crabb's book. Also, listen again tomorrow, and we'll continue this discussion about one of the most serious mental conditions, and it can also turn into a serious physical problem. So you be listening again tomorrow.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. Friends, you don't have to wait until tomorrow to get your copy of Dr. Crabb's insightful book, A Hole with No Hope. The 190-page book is offered in appreciation of a $10 contribution if you live in the United States, $12 for our Canadian listeners. To get it, phone 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The web address is swrc.com. This book helps those dealing with depression by talking about the physiology of their problem, and that includes body, soul, and spirit. Call, write, or go to the website today for your copy. One, an appreciation of a $10 contribution in the U.S., $12 in Canada. Today and tomorrow's programs with Dr. Crabb are also available. Get them on CD or tape for an offering of $14 in the U.S., $15 in Canada. Phone 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The web address is swrc.com. These programs are on your station only through the tax-deductible contributions you make to this ministry. Next over many of these stations is a Bible in the News report. Join us tomorrow for your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries' Bible in the News report, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program. I'm Jerry Giltner. I'll be bringing you today's report. As we move ever closer to the end of the age, the proliferation of deadly diseases and plagues seem to be increasing. There was the H1N1 scare not long ago. E. coli outbreaks have beset Americans. Meningitis hit an elementary school in northeast Oklahoma this year, killing at least two students. Recently, it had been reported that an airborne fungus was spreading through the northwestern portions of the United States and even into Canada. We're quoting from FoxNews.com, this story on the Internet, April 23, 2010. Quote, a potentially deadly strain of fungus is spreading among animals and people in the northwestern United States and the Canadian province of British Columbia, researchers reported on Thursday. The airborne fungus usually only affects transplant and AIDS patients and people with otherwise comprised immune systems, but the new strain is genetically different, the researcher said. This novel fungus is worrisome because it appears to be a threat to otherwise healthy people, said Edmund Burns of Duke University in North Carolina, who led the study. The findings presented here document that the outbreak of C. gotti in western North America is continuing to expand throughout this temperate region, the researchers said in their report published in the Public Library Science Journal PLOS Pathogens. Our findings suggest further expansion into neighboring regions is likely to occur and aim to increase disease awareness in the region. The new strain appears to be unusually deadly, with a mortality rate of about 25% among the 21 U.S. cases analyzed, they said. From 1999 through 2003, the cases were largely restricted to Vancouver Island, the report reads. Between 2003 and 2006, the outbreak expanded into neighboring mainland British Columbia and then into Washington and Oregon from 2005 to 2009. Based on this historical trajectory of expansion, the outbreak may continue to expand into the neighboring region of Northern California and possibly further, close quotes. Since we are just now hearing about this deadly fungus that's been around for several years, there could be others that are in existence but have not yet been revealed. One thing is certain, there are more plagues to come. The prophetic scriptures tell us that during the tribulation there will be plagues and other devastating events when Babylon is judged. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. That's from Revelation chapter 18, verse 8. That's today's Bible in the News report, a presentation of Southwest Radio Ministries. These reports, as well as questions and answers, are published each month in a booklet. If you'd like a complimentary copy of the booklet, call, write, or visit our website. Phone 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma 73008. Or visit the web at swrc.com. Join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News or question and answer.